Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, church where we are seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Whether you're joining us in person or online, and hello, online people, we know there are a lot of you, we are glad that all of you are with us today. You've come on a great day because we have new members joining. We're going to be showing appreciation for our teachers, and we have a message from Pastor John. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and our worship leaders today are Rose Bledsoe and Carol Kapuska, and our choir under the direction of Susan Kimball. Now, we do have a few announcements. First of all, our all-church worship and picnic is going to be held by the lakeside at Whitmore Lake on Sunday, May 26th. So mark your calendars. The worship will start at 11, and the free picnic starts at noon. And this is going to replace an 11 o'clock service at this campus. There'll be the 9:30, but then there won't be an 11 here because everybody's going to head over to the lake. And it's okay if you choose to go to the lake instead of 9:30 that week. We won't feel bad. Either way is good. But come, there's going to be music, a bounce house, and you can just relax by the lake shore there. It'll be great. If you are a person who is currently receiving your giving statements from the church by snail mail, that's okay. You can keep on doing that. But know that you can switch to secure digital giving statements that will come in a secure email. This would be paperless, and it would save the church a whole bunch of postage stamps. So if you wish to switch, fill out the back of your connection card. There's a spot right at the bottom of the connection card. Just give the email that you want to receive the giving statements on, and it will happen for you. Number three, today, you are invited to come back at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a town hall meeting. We're going to hear an update about our new leadership board, meet our leadership board, hear from our strategic planning team, and we're going to get an update on what has happened so far at General Conference. The General Conference of the United Methodist Church meets for 2 weeks. So last week was their first week. They still got one more week. And I'll give you a hint, they've done some big things already. They aren't dragging their feet. So come and hear about that, 5 o'clock. And we'll want you then to come again next week at the end of General Conference on May 3rd to get the final wrap-up and also have some more strategic planning stuff, I think. So two town hall meetings right in a row. Seems like a lot, but it's not because so much is happening. We also want to stress that we really would love for you to complete the connection card that's inside your bulletin. Let us know you're here. Sign up for all those different kind of opportunities that are there. And also you that are online, you can sign up online for those things. And also you can sign up for the thing where you get the giving statements online, whatever it was. If you have prayer requests, please complete a prayer request card so that we can pray with you about the things that are on your heart. We are a praying church, and we would love to pray for you. So all of those, if you're here in this campus right now, you can put the connection card and the prayer request card in the offering plate as it goes by. So I invite you to stand for our opening hymn. We are called, it's in the black, the faith we sing, 2172. This is my favorite song.
There you go.
I love it. Let us join together in the opening prayer. Lord, we thank you for the love you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Show us the way to follow your call, to act with justice, to live humbly, to love and serve. Help us to recognize the opportunities you place in our paths to make disciples for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Well, we were, Pastor Lynn and I were just saying that we're singing all the greatest hits of the United Methodist hymnals today, so I hope you enjoyed the music this morning. We also are very excited to be welcoming new members into this body of Christ, and so if you are joining in this membership class, we actually have 14 folks total who are joining the church at this time. Some of them will be here, some of them will be at the 11 o'clock service, and a couple of folks will actually be joining at a later date because this date conflicted with their schedules. But if you are one of those individuals who will be joining the church during this morning service, we invite you to come forward, and I'm just going to share the names of everybody who will be joining the church in this particular membership class. So we have Amber Bismack, Ben Dutcher, Vicky Dutcher, Barbara Lewis, Deborah Sharp, Ed Sharp, Anna Schroeder, Brian Schroeder, Leo Snow, and Janice Sproul, and then also
spread out.
Of one of the special abilities that we have in our discipline is the ability for somebody to join as what's called an affiliate member, which means I always love when you have people, so many people joining the church, you're like, I'm just going to slide down over here to be to make room for everybody. But one of the provisions in the discipline is that you can actually be members of two churches at the same time. So Sue Collier is going to be joining as an affiliate member, which means that she'll hold membership in two churches, acknowledging the significance of and importance of both of those communities of faith at the same time. And so we welcome these individuals into membership in our church as we present them for membership and they reaffirm their faith. And so we ask some questions for you as you join the church this morning.
So I have some questions for you, and so does Pastor John. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do.
Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And according to the grace given you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, please respond, I will.
I will.
Amen. And now, members of the household of faith, we want to respond and take those vows again ourselves. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Now we ask this question of all of us. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? And the response will be on the screen.
With God's help,
we will
proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way
that leads to life.
My friends, this is for all of you. Let all of us gathered here join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father? The response will be on the screen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, please respond, I will.
I will.
Amen. Members of the household of God, I commend to you these persons to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We invite you to respond with the words on the screen.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live with grace and peace. Members of the household of God, please welcome these new brothers and sisters into this body of Christ as we receive them.
Welcome.
Welcome to our new members. We're so glad to have you among us. Our scripture readings this morning are from Mark and John. First, Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Jesus answered, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" The second reading is from John chapter 3, verse 11. "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to do good. Amen. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I kind of feel like I'm on fire this morning. So we just went on a men's retreat last week, and we went up to northern Michigan. There were 13 of us guys. Some of you were there with us, and we went up to northern Michigan, which is beautiful. It's a great way to sort of begin the springtime, and we helped open up a camp up north for northern Michigan, and so much good has happened actually in the last week. United Methodists from around the world have gathered in North Carolina, and you can see the live stream of those worship services. I've been listening to bishops preach for the last week, and they don't play around when it comes to worship in the United Methodist Church. If you want to be inspired, if you want to like leak a little bit out of your eyeballs, I encourage you to go online to the United Methodist General Conference webpage and just take a moment in your week this week. You've been here on Sunday mornings, but take a moment and watch one of, there's probably going to be 14 different worship services, each with their own theme and particular identity. And I encourage you to take time out of your week and just watch one worship service from General Conference. They bring together the best musicians and the best liturgists and the preachers, and it's just like you just watch it and you're just like, man, my eyes, they're got to be checked for malfunction, because I just am sobbing with how proud I am to be a part of a global church where there are bishops from Europe and Africa and Asia and North America who are coming together to preach and to love one another and to care for one another. I challenge you to do that at some point this week, because the very best of the United Methodist Church is on full display through some of the worship services. I'm also here to tell you, if you watch the rest of General Conference, you may find yourself going, man, this church really struggles with parliamentary procedure and all kinds of other things. You think about that. But at its finest, there are moments of great pride watching, for the first time in history, a Native American bishop preside over General Conference, or listening to people speak in their native languages from all around the world, celebrating the fact that we share a common bond through our United Methodist beliefs. Truly, I tell you this, good work is being done in Charlotte, North Carolina, as we speak and people talk about the bright, hope-filled future of the United Methodist Church. In addition to that, last night, some of us went to a Vena Dental Clinic fundraiser with, if you're new to the church, if you're visiting, about 15 years ago, our church decided that it wasn't just good enough to be a church that gathers on Sundays, which we've held on to that for a long time, but several dentists in our church decided that it was probably appropriate and possible for us to start a dental clinic right here in our own backyard. It's called the Vena Dental Clinic, and it's been in existence ever since. And last night, there was a fundraiser to continue the mission and ministry that's done right on our church campus at the Vena Dental Clinic. And I learned last night that over 1,000 appointments take place at the Vena Dental Clinic every single year that help restore people's smiles. If you can think about it, 500 people in the last calendar year alone walked into the Vena Dental Clinic and had restorative work done on their teeth so that they could feel comfortable smiling once again, all because of the faithfulness of our church. I'm here to say that I've come into contact over the course of my life with many churches who teach all different kinds of things. And there are lots of folks out there who believe that, you know, among other things, Jesus is coming back, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a week, maybe in a month. And really, the entire world can fall apart for all they care, because, in fact, that might accelerate. Wow, there are a lot of choir folks this morning. Four rows, that's pretty impressive. Way to take over the channel. I'll just like keep turning around. That's beautiful. There are a lot of churches that believe that, you know, maybe the end times are near, that the forest fires that took place last year in Canada are a sign of the end times, that the world is coming to an end. And so, you know, I actually feel really comfortable just sort of sitting down and watching the world burn. It's a mighty convenient place to be, because God's got it. It's under control. We don't have to do anything. In fact, if the forest fires rage on and the earthquakes come and the 3 trillion cicadas that are supposed to come out this summer are signs of the end times as well, so be it. But not us. As United Methodists, as you guys joined this church and became proud members of the United Methodist Church, you made a commitment to support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. We as United Methodists boldly proclaim that we are on a mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, which sometimes means starting a dental clinic on your property and taking hundreds of veterans who served this country over their life in active duty and allowing them to come to the Vena Dental Clinic for $10 to have their teeth cleaned, and $25 perhaps for a more extensive visit where work might need to be done. I'm proud to be a part of not only our expression of United Methodism at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, but also a part of a global denomination where, if you watch those worship services, there will be videos about churches just like ours all around the world who said, you know what? There are poor people in the Appalachian Mountains, and we ought to be doing something about that. Of Methodists who have decided it's time to build Habitat for Humanity homes because there should be nobody in our community that's homeless. Let's participate in the work that God is doing through Habitat for Humanity, which you'll hear more about that later on in the worship service this morning. But there were 3 simple rules that John Wesley stated that would define what it means to be a Methodist. Do good. I hope that that's explanatory and a part of our DNA and our fabric as a church. Do no harm, and stay in love with God. Those are the three things that marked what it meant, the three simple rules of being a part of this community of faith. They continue to be defining pieces of our expression of the Christian faith to this day. I remember after Hurricane Katrina, a number of us in college decided to take a mission trip down to Biloxi, Mississippi, where most of the storm had hit. And I remember being absolutely taken away by so many things on that trip. It's probably where I started one of my big addictions, which is going on mission trips during cold months in Michigan to anywhere where it's warm. Is anybody with me? I'll sign you all up right now. Anywhere going south in the wintertime. But I remember myself and about 40 other college students got in Albion College vans. We started driving down way beyond the speed limit. I apologize for that. We got down to New Orleans in a speed, in a quick turnaround. And as we approached the city, I remember driving, I believe it's Interstate 10 into New Orleans. Somebody can correct me on that later. And we were coming into New Orleans. And I remember looking up, and there were buses, and there were vans, and there were, you know, vehicles that had been painted with whatever kind of window paint was available to them. And they're like, we're on a mission. First United Methodist Church of Atlanta, Georgia. We're here to help. First United Methodist of Tallahassee. We're here to serve. First United Methodist Church of wherever, and there were Catholic buses, and there were Presbyterian buses, but I remember seeing one thing that defined that entire trip for me. It was the cross in flame that is the insignia of the United Methodist Church on all of these vehicles who are running into the storm as fast as they could possibly get there. Just the other night, I noticed that there were massive tornadoes that were tearing through Lincoln, Nebraska, Pastor Lindsay's hometown, and Omaha, Nebraska. And I texted my in-laws and I asked them, like, are you guys okay? There's this massive tornado. It's all over the news. It went right through Lincoln about 2 miles from their house. And then, of course, like, I'm on Facebook later on that evening, and there's a group of United Methodist clergy that post all kinds of things, but the very first thing that posted on my feed in the United Methodist clergy group on Facebook was a post from a United Methodist pastor in Tennessee that said, I'm looking for a pastor in Omaha, Nebraska that will host a group of 40 people from our church. We're coming to Nebraska for storm relief. And I got to thinking, what an awesome church we are. We don't run from storms. We don't sit on our hands waiting for somebody else to do the work or perhaps God to save us from the mess that we've created in the world today. We run into the storms. When there are people who are sick, we build hospitals. When there are folks who don't get to go to school, we build schools. When there are people who are thirsty, we build wells. When we find that there's a need in the world, there are United Methodists there as quickly as we can possibly imagine. They were still digging people out of their homes when United Methodists were already organizing and planning trips for relief. I'm here to tell you that UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, has been recognized over and over again as one of the world's most significant and important disaster response ministries of any church, of any denomination. Friends, we do good. And I'm proud of that. There are so many other ways to do good. Not everybody feels called to fire up the chainsaw and go cut down trees that have fallen on houses all across the country. Some of us do good by gathering every Monday to do prayers in squares. Some of us do good through the Embroiderers Guild, which was here. Wendy told me on Saturday they were like, going to be 30 cars here of folks who are creating all kinds of arts and crafts at the church. Some of us do good by writing cards to people that we care about, and you're able to go to the mail these days, as Pastor Lynn was talking about snail mail. You're like, I don't want to see any bills, but handwritten cards, those are nice. Some of us do good by gathering inside that prayer room every single Thursday morning to pray over all of the concerns that are lifted on the yellow prayer cards in our church. Some of us do good by filling water pitchers. Yesterday, as we celebrated Bob Schaefer's life, there were some of you who were willing to come an hour and a half or 2 hours before the service started to make coffee for the family that gathered in Bob's honor for a memorial service yesterday. Some of you do good by pulling weeds out of the garden, the memorial garden, just outside these sanctuary doors, so that for years to come, people who are family members of the over 30 people who are buried out in the memorial garden can come and have a beautiful space to remember their loved ones who have passed away. The other day, we were in the membership class, and Pastor Lynn has put, like, I don't know, countless hours into trying to track down every single ministry of our church. It's no easy task, by the way. She compiled a list of like 7 pages of single point font with all of the ministries that are a part of our church, and we went through them with a new membership class. And I remember getting at the end of it and needing like an oxygen tank, you know, because I was trying to explain all of the different ways that you all do good. But this is also important. With as many things as we have going on in the church, there's room for one more. Maybe as you're sitting here today, you're aware of a need, a gap, some hole in our understanding of what the needs of the world are. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're going like, you know, we've done a lot for this group of people, but what about this group of people? We're here to help you do good. And if there's a ministry that you see an opportunity, I hope you'll come find one of us so that as we all proclaimed our membership vows together, that we would support this church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And we hope that we can help that come true for you. Because there are so many ministries of this church that are doing good. And yet, there are still so many needs in our community and our world. So let's not sit on our hands. Let's roll up our sleeves and get in our United Methodist Church vans or personal vehicles, and let's go out and transform the world together, one act of service and love at a time. And I hope that you'll take a moment and scroll through the feed of all of the videos of General Conference. And I hope, like me, you'll weep like a child, proud of who we are, not because we're perfect, we're not. And I guarantee you, if you watch long enough, eventually you'll be like, I disagree with that. And I hope you get upset, as weird as that sounds, because oftentimes that's where change begins. When you start to feel passionate about something, when you imagine yourself changing something that causes you to feel a little bit of displeasure about the way the world currently is. John Wesley's way of doing this was to visit coal mines, where most of the folks who were serving there didn't have access to education. And he taught these folks how to read because he believed that everybody should have access to education no matter how poor you were. It's one of the reasons why Methodists have stood behind public education for years and years and years. We believe everyone should have an opportunity. And throughout the legacy of the United Methodist Church, we've continued to find new needs for the world to make a difference in Jesus' name. May all of you who joined as new members and all of us who have been members of this church for a long time find some way of doing good and impacting the world, no matter what our age, our ability, our background. All of us have spiritual gifts to do this work. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray for our church, the United Methodist Church, and for all who are gathered in North Carolina. We pray especially for the discernment and the work that they're doing during this time. And we ask your blessing on us as we gather here in this particular expression of United Methodism. At First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, we celebrate all that you're doing through us. Allow us to find ways of transforming our world 1 minute, an hour at a time. We celebrate the good work that you've begun in us, and we trust that you will see it through to completion. Amen.
So I had a cute little anecdote I was going to share this morning about the theme of doing good, but that's never God's plan. Or I should say God had a different plan. And I just want to encourage you with that long list that Pastor John shared of ways to do good in our missions and all of the different opportunities in the church, and maybe you have a different opportunity that you want to bring to the church or are thinking of. Time is of the essence. So let's pray. Lord, this is the beginning of the time that we can speak to you and organize our thoughts around the message given to us today by Pastor John. We can think about how our prayers can be put to good use. We can pray for our community. Lord, as we look forward as a congregation to consider how it is that we may follow your guidance to do good, let us consider all things great and small. We don't have to always plan grand gestures, but sometimes a small moment of good can become a grand gesture in someone's life. Open our eyes, Lord, to our surroundings that need our help, to the opportunities that we can affect, the opportunities in our church community, in our work, and in our neighborhoods. We pray for our missions that they may continue strong and vibrant, that we draw volunteers with hearts for helping and doing good work. We pray for those receiving prayer quilts today, Christine, Gloria, and Bud, and we lift them up to you for healing, peace, and hope, that you give them comfort and strength. There may be someone today who has an idea that they have been thinking on for another mission, for a means to help those in our community, but they are not confident in themselves to bring it forward. Give them that confidence, Lord. Help them to find their voice and share it with us. Help them to realize the impact that they can have in doing good. Beyond these walls, Lord, there are so many injustices. There are so many lives experiencing turmoil, oppression, and hopelessness. There are people experiencing disconnection. They may feel alone and unthought of. They may not be beyond the walls, but inside them. We pray for a more mindful world, a world of generosity in their resources, but also in their humanity. Support us in spreading your word through service and witness, in feeding people's bodies, minds, and souls through our good acts. Please give us the strength that we need to be able to do good to everyone and everything that we will encounter today. Inspire us in action. Empower us to have an impact. Move us in ways that cause a ripple outward. Call us to action that we may be the one that perhaps steps out and herds some ducklings to safety, the one assisting the person carrying their groceries, pausing to let someone ahead of you in line. We pray that each day we can be the arm of support, the smile of encouragement, the card of well wishes in the mail. Lord, give us the strength to not grow weary in doing good. Having a heart for doing good can be overwhelming, can stretch our boundaries, and become exhausting. Be with us to make choices that help keep the balance between good for others and good for ourselves. And now let's take a moment to share with God our own prayers. And now let's join our voices in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward at this time. And as they're coming, I want to let you know that within our church family, you know, we've been doing so much to transform lives in our community and around the world. We don't want to forget about our own kids. We want our kids to go to camp and to grow in their faith, and to have a secure, transforming opportunity to be with God there. So we've been collecting money to try to have scholarships for all of them to go to camp. And we've done wonderfully well, but we still need $1,280. So if you can help, you can take one of those tags out in coffee hour, or you can go online, or you can take an envelope and just write camp scholarships on it. Whatever you can do would be greatly, greatly helpful for our kids. And now I would like to invite April Schauer up. April attends regularly at our Whitmore Lake Church. She's one of our lay leaders, right? Yes, one of the lay leaders. And she has a mission moment for us about Habitat for Humanity.
Good morning. As Lynn just said, I'm April Schauer from the from Whitmore Lake campus, and I'm here today to present this month's mission moment, Habitat for Humanity of Huron Valley. Last year, we saw a video of a family sharing their journey with the Habitat program and how proud they were to achieve home ownership for the first time. This year, I'd like to share a few some data from the Habitat program in Washtenaw County while you enjoy a few pictures from last year's build. First, for a little background, our church is a member of the Good News Group. We're a group of 16 churches in Washtenaw County that partner together to sponsor a house through Habitat for Humanity of Huron Valley. The Huron Valley chapter of Habitat established in Washtenaw County about 35 years ago. The Good News Group has partnered with the Habitat for 28 years, which I believe is the longest serving partner that they've had. Our Whitmore Lake Church and now our combined campuses have been a member of the Good News Group for more than 15 years. To share a few metrics from the Good News Group of 16 churches, just last year in 2023 alone, we provided 228 volunteers for a total of 1,351 volunteer hours and donated $61,797. The Brighton Whitmore Lake Church combined specifically just sent 12 volunteers over the two build dates last year, which translates to approximately 84 volunteer hours, and we also were able to raise and donate $3,500. The overall impact Habitat has for Humanity, Habitat has over their 35-year history includes 9,000 home improvement projects completed, over 6,500 energy-efficient appliance replacements, more than 2,000 furnace and other HVAC replacements. They've had 275 houses that they've renovated or built, and more than 190 home exterior and home improvement and neighborhood beautification days. And that's just a few of the things that they do. In conclusion, I'd like to, through your generosity, along with the other churches in the Good News Group, over the 28-year history of the Good News partnership with Habitat, we've helped 38 families achieve home ownership, including around 70 children. And a fun fact, every family that's in a Good News house are still living there today. So thank you. Please stop by the Habitat for Humanity table next week at the Mission Fair. There'll be more information regarding our build for the 2024 season, as well as volunteer opportunities. Thank you.
So I just want to take one more opportunity to just share a word of an appreciation for a group of folks within our congregation that make a huge difference. And this is a group of folks who have taught classes, whether it be in the church or in the community or anywhere out in the world. If you are a teacher of a Sunday school, if you're a volunteer at youth group, if you are a teacher in the community at a public school or private school, I want to invite you to just take a moment to stand and be recognized as we conclude. If you're a retired teacher, I'd like to include you in that group as well. Will all of our teachers in the house please stand so that we might recognize you today? Amen. I just want to say a word about you all. I can't thank you enough for investing in the next generation of people who consider themselves to be disciples of Jesus or pupils in the world, in the classrooms that you serve, in all the ways that you have and will continue to make a difference in the lives of students. I'm grateful for your leadership, for your commitment in the next generation, and for all of the ways in which you've planted seeds to make tomorrow brighter than today. Thank you so much for your service and for the ways in which you transform people. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to invite everyone to stand and sing our closing song as we continue in worship together this day.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, as we close this service down, I hope that you're proud to be a part of the church that isn't necessarily made up of the buildings or the stained glass windows or anything else. It's you. You are the church. You are the ones who get to do good. You are the ones who get to stay in love with God. You are the ones who get to go out into the world and do no harm. Yes, we are the church together. As we depart from this place, I pray that you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, looking for ways to transform the world. I want to extend a special invitation for all the folks who have joined the church today to stick around after service for just a moment. We want to take your photograph and welcome you with this last act of liturgical photo snapping into the body of Christ. But the rest of you are welcome to head out into the world, enjoy fellowship with one another, and transform the world in Jesus' name. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.